You are listening to the Stetson Students Podcast, where we post all of the series and messages from our student ministry. We are a ministry connected to Stetson Baptist Church, where we are for DeLand and for Jesus. If you would like to learn anything more about our ministries, please check out our social medias or go to StetsonBaptistChurch.org.
On. Hey, I'm going to call somebody out. This was left last week. Is this somebody's Bible that you're like, this is mine and I've had it?
Oh, Maggie, I'm going to embarrass you. Will you come up and grab your Bible? Everybody clap for Maggie again as she comes up to the save. Cool. There you go. Yeah, you leave your Bible everywhere. So awesome. No, that's awesome. Well, hey, if you were with us last week, am I on? Yeah, I'm good. Okay. If you were with us last week, that's awesome. We have started a new series as we are kind of jump-starting our Wednesday night functions, really, as you are jump-starting back into the semester, and it's called Made New. This is our last week. It's just a two-week series, and then next week, we're starting a new series called For Everyone, so we'd invite you back to be a part of that. But last week, if you were here, man, we focused a lot about what the gospel is and what our call on the gospel is for us. And if we hear the gospel and we believe the gospel, our calling is to then follow Jesus. And that's kind of the second step. You hear the gospel and the question is, what's next? What do I do with this? And it's and then the what's next is to follow him. And so now we're going to kind of talk about, okay, well, I'm following him. What does that look like? And I thought I'd start by kind of using a story of mine. If you know me, I love basketball. Is there anybody like basketball fans in here? Cool. Not enough, apparently. Man, I need you guys to be proud of it. So I've grown up on basketball. My whole family has grown up loving basketball. It was something that my dad taught me. It's something that I took very personal. And I can tell you, in sixth grade was the first time I ever stepped on an official basketball team. I joined the team in sixth grade. To this day, I think it's the Holy Spirit is the only reason that my coach put me on the team, because I was garbage. I'm so serious. I couldn't make a right-hand layup. And it was like, this is for the actual team. And I still, like, I'll go back to him every once in a while when I was growing up in high school. And I was like, why did you ever put me on the team? And his answer was always, I don't know. And so, man, I was really, really bad. I'm not kidding, man. I can't tell you how bad I was. Think about like how maybe who in here is like, I'm bad at basketball. I was worse than all of you. Okay. That's my answer. But hey, there was a moment where I remember it was between sixth and actually it was between my seventh grade and my eighth grade year. So I was garbage in sixth grade and seventh grade year. And the big moment was every other seventh grader got put on the varsity team except for me. I was the literal only person that was only playing JV on the entire, if you don't know, that's like junior varsity. So varsity is the team A and team B. I was the only one on team B. Everybody else was already on team A, and they actually like, some of them would play team A and B so that I could play. Like, that's how bad it was. I can't tell you how bad I was at basketball. But there was a moment between seventh and eighth grade year where I remember I was in my room with a friend, and I looked at him and I was like, I'm not going to be the worst player on the team. Actually, I'm going to devote my time this summer, and I'm going to become one of the best players on the team. And I kid you not, every day after school from that point on, after basketball season ended and throughout all of the summer, I would be out on these basketball goals that were right outside of the middle school, because I lived right next to the middle school, and they're outdoor goals. They were terrible, but I was out there for 2 to 3 hours a day. I'm not kidding. I did it every day, and there was a friend that would actually come and rebound for me. I'm not friends with him anymore, and I don't know why, because, man, that's the most servant-hearted person you can be. He just literally came out there to rebound for me while he was, like, watching me chase my dream. That's a story on friendship. If you ever want a friend, be a friend like him. So, man, that happened, and I practiced every day really, really hard. And so over the next year, and when basketball tryouts came, I actually was one of the best players on the team. And it was really funny. There was a moment in practice during the tryout where the coach looked to the entirety of the rest of the team, and he said, hey, I want you to know Nate is one of our best players, and here's why. I've watched him every day for the past year go on the courts and play for 2 to 3 hours. He was a teacher, so he was grading papers, and he just kept looking out his window, and there I'd be. And he could, it was almost like he could just, it was like clockwork. He knew that I would be out there. And so why do I tell you this? It's not so I can brag on myself, but really what it is that I made a decision
but the decision didn't make me good. I made the decision to my friend and to myself that I'm going to be one of the best players on my team next year, but it wasn't like that decision made me the best player on the team next year. No, it was the many decisions that took place afterwards. It was the many things that happened afterwards. It was it wasn't the decision that made me well. It was a start of the journey where I decided to make many decisions and many moments that made me well because I started to practice, because I started to put in the work based on my decision. And so what I'm telling you right now is, man, many of you have made the decision to say, I want to follow Jesus. And that's awesome. And I celebrate that. Man, if that was you last week, even better. That's so cool that we were a part of that. But now the question is, what's next? And I'm telling you, just to say I'm a follower of Jesus doesn't make you a follower of Jesus. Do you hear me? Like, now is the time for us to make the many decisions that follow that, that really create our fellowship of Jesus, that really create the believing heart, that really make us a Christian. And so, hey, we're going to be in Colossians. So I put your Bibles under you. If you don't have one, maybe you brought one. That's awesome. We're going to be in Colossians 2. If you are new to the Bible, the table of contents is in the front of the Bible. I would really tell you to use that. That'll tell you where to go for the book. Let me tell you, the chapters are the big numbers. The verses are the little numbers. So we're going to be in Colossians chapter 2, a big 2. And then we're going to be in verses 6 through 7. Let me tell you a little bit, as you're flipping there, I'm just going to tell you a little information about Colossians. It was written by a guy named Paul. Paul is kind of this, you'll hear a lot about Paul, and you'll probably learn to know who Paul is. Man, he was a guy who used to persecute Christians, but Jesus changed his life, and so he wrote to a bunch of churches. And so this is actually a letter that he wrote to a church, and the church is in Colossia, which is why it's called Colossians. It's the people in the church of Colossia. And it's really the whole purpose of this letter that you're going to see as we just read a very quick portion of it, is that a faith in Jesus changes you. And so that's really what he says through all of it. If you're still struggling to find it in the blue, it is on page 572. So if you're not there, that's where you need to be, page 572. All right, I'm going to go ahead and read it for us. And it says this, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. So, man, the whole point of these two verses is this. Following Jesus will change who you are. Let me tell you, if you're wondering, what is Nate going to say for the rest of the night? I'm going to say this. Following Jesus will change who you are. Following Jesus will change who you are. I believe these two verses really unpack a great portion of what that looks like. And so, man, I just want to walk through a few words that I think really detail what it means to follow Jesus and how that will change who you are. The first word I think we should look at is the word therefore. I know that's weird. It's one word, therefore. I love this. Whenever I heard somebody talk about the word therefore, they always ask the question that you should say when you see that word, what's it there for? Say that with me. What's it there for? Yeah, so therefore, when you see the word, you need to think, why is it there? Why is this word there? Well, I'll tell you, based on what he just says after it, the word therefore is to say what he is about to say to these people is for only if you are a follower of Jesus. So the therefore really means if you are a follower of Jesus, blank. If you are a follower of Jesus, blank, here's the rest of what I'm saying to you. And so that's what we're here to see, is that if you are a follower of Jesus, this applies to you. What I'm about to say, what he's about to write, is going to apply to you. Now, I'm not dumb. I know some of you in here, maybe not there. Like, you may be still questioning if you should follow Jesus. You may be questioning what is following Jesus. Man, if that is you, please come talk to me. Come talk to one of our adult leaders. We'd love to have that conversation with you. But what I will say is, if that's you in the room, then what Paul is about to tell you is this is what is offered to you. So if you are a follower of Jesus, this is for you. If you're not, hey, this is offered to you if you do follow him. So therefore, that's what that means. If you are a follower of Jesus, he then says,
walk in him. Walk in him. Obviously, when he says the word him, he's speaking of Jesus, okay? I feel like that's a little self-explanatory, but he's talking about Jesus. So walk in him. Now, I don't know about you, but I am not a professional or Olympic speed walker. And so when I walk, I walk very slow. When I walk, it's actually like if I need to be somewhere in a hurry, I'm not walking, right? Like if I need to be somewhere in a hurry, what am I doing? I'm running, right? So, man, when we look at this, what Paul is telling us is to walk in him, it's really to say, man, you are walking at a slow and peaceful rate. You're walking at a slow and peaceful rate. The life with Jesus is one of slow and peaceful decisions. I like to think about it this way. I know none of you have done this ever, but who is, if you're honest, who's ever like woken up late for something? Okay, everybody in the room. Wow, come on, guys. Don't hit snooze. I don't know what you're, no. So like, there's a difference when you wake up on time than when you wake up late, right? If you wake up on time, man, you get to like kind of mosey out of bed. Maybe you sit on your phone for 30 minutes and do the doom scroll. Maybe that's just me. Man, you take your time in the shower. You take your time when you're brushing your teeth. For me, I am actually able to make my coffee at home. Versus when I wake up late, or when you wake up late, it's like, what are the nearest clean clothes? What's the nearest hat? Because I got hat hair. And where's the mouthwash, right? It's this idea of like, man, when you wake up late, you are in a hurry. You're running to get things done. Man, that's not what the life that Jesus offers is. What the life that Jesus offers is one that is very slow, very methodical, one that is very peaceful. One that is really a one step at a time mentality. Not taking everything in at once, but really able to kind of focus and understand every decision that you're making. And I say the word peaceful because I'm telling you, man, a life that is slow is a life that is peaceful. Life that is unhurried, a life that you're able actually to focus on the decisions that are being made, a life that you're able to focus on each moment and see each moment as a blessing, that is a peaceful, peaceful life. And right here, Paul is saying that you are to walk in him in an unhurried manner. He then moves on and he actually uses the phrase rooted. So that's our next word. So you got therefore, because if you're a Christian, you then have this idea of walking in him, slow and peaceful. And then you have this idea of rooted. And when I think of rooted, like probably all of you, I think of a tree. And so, man, I got this picture of a tree. And I'll be honest, I don't like keeping it up here long because it's very uncomfortable to look at. That might just be me. That might just be an irrational fear. But man, why I threw that up there is because it's a roots of a tree. So like to be rooted is to talk about roots of a tree. And what roots of a tree are there for and what they do is that is where the tree's strength comes from. So when a tree is pushed by winds or maybe by people because we're dumb sometimes or whatever it is, the reason that it stays standing up and vertical like it should is not because of what's above ground, but it's what's under the ground. The roots are what keeps the tree standing up. The roots are where its strength comes from. And so when Paul tells us that we get to be rooted in Jesus, what he means is that we get to be unwavering. You get to be unwavering like the tree. If you are the tree and we are rooted in Christ, you get to be unwavering. What that means is that no matter the circumstances or trials or things that just bad things that happen to you in life or stresses or anxieties or things when they just don't go your way, no matter what happens, man, you don't have to freak out. You don't have to act like your world's imploding. Because you're secure. You get to be unwavering knowing that your joy, your peace, your satisfaction isn't in the things of this world, but is in Christ. And Christ already did what he said he would do for you. He saved you. So you get to be rooted in that. Unwavering. I like to think about it this way. Like I said, I loved basketball. And so, man, I actually had the opportunity to go play basketball in college, but I said, no, totally different story. If you want to know the fullness of that, come ask me. That's kind of a slight flex. I'm sorry about that. I'll repent later. But there was a time where I had a last basketball game. And I'll always remember it because we got blown out by 30. And I scored like 6 points and it was a really terrible game. As you can see, I've totally forgotten about it. I'm not butthurt at all. No, but I remember in that moment, that night when that happened, all my friends are around me and they're crying. We're actually riding back on a bus. It was an hour and a half bus ride. Can I tell you, it was the quietest bus ride ever? Everybody's crying. They're crying together. I was not. But I remember that feeling of sadness and rage of saying, like, this is my last game. At that time, I didn't know ever, but certainly I knew that it was my last game with my best friends. I remember in that moment, going to sleep was the hardest thing that night. You're tossing and turning. You're thinking about what could have happened, thinking about the different things that I could have done to maybe change the outcome, which was nothing because they were D1 players and it was crazy. But you know what happened after that? I woke up. I woke up the next day and I realized, man, my life still goes on. I realized, man, I still have bigger and better things that I'm going to get to be a part of. No, they may not be basketball. No, they may not be with this group of friends. But there are much different things that are waiting for me. The reason I tell you this is because being rooted in Jesus, being rooted in Christ, brings us to that decision where we understand no matter what happens, man, this is not what I'm living for. No matter what happens, I realize there's something greater. No matter the stresses, no matter the temptations, no matter the failings, no matter the hurts, no matter the wrongdoings, you get to move on and say, man, I know that Jesus saved me and there's something that is coming later and I'm rooted and unwavering and I'm secure and I don't have to worry about it like the rest of the world does. So you get therefore, which is, man, if you're a Christian, you get to walk in him, which is slow and peaceful. You get to be rooted, which is unwavering. And then he uses this word built up, rooted and built up. Has anybody ever seen like a construction of a building over a period of time? You have? Okay. Who has ever seen like a building put up in 2 days? Really? What building, Max, have you seen put up in 2 days? 2 days? Okay. Okay. Was it made of like construction paper and cardboard? Golly, dude, 2 days. No, I'm just kidding. So, man, I went to college at Union University, and there was this beautiful new building that they were putting up, and it was like this big moment. And I was actually, it was really cool. I was there for when the ground broke. What that meant was I got to see a person put a shovel in the ground. We all clapped, and then we had cupcakes, and they never did anything the rest of that day. So it was a really weird moment. But I was there for the groundbreaking. And can I tell you, that was 2.5 years ago. Do you know what building is still not up today? That building, it is still under construction. We were actually, me and my wife, we went back and visited it over the summer, and they have made some progress. It definitely does look like it's a building, but it's still got a well of a ways to go. Man, I tell you that because to be built up is not a quick and fast process. It is not something that happens in 2 days, though Max would try to make you think that it does. It's something that takes a very, very long time. And the reason is building something that lasts takes time and it takes care. Building something that lasts takes time and it takes care. Can I tell you, becoming a follower of Jesus isn't a 0 to 100 moment in your life. Man, if it is, that's awesome. I don't want to take that away from you. Can I tell you the majority of the case is you'd make a decision to follow Jesus and then you get away from the excitement and the celebration of it. And you don't know what to do next. I'm here to tell you that being a follower of Jesus, now as Paul would tell us, is it is about being built up. It is a daily process. It is a process that takes time. It is a process that is not done in one day, but it is done over a long period of time. Paul in other places would say that the faith is one of a marathon and not a sprint. What he means by that is it's not something that you do really quickly for a very short amount of time, but it's something that you are enduring and being built up in over a very long period of time and even a lifetime. This is a daily process. And really, in your daily process, can I tell you, your goal is to follow Jesus better today than you followed him yesterday. Every day, your goal is, I want to follow Jesus better today than I did yesterday. And guess what? You're going to go to sleep and you're going to wake up the next day. And your same goal is, I want to follow Jesus better today than I did yesterday. And you're going to go to sleep and you're going to wake up. And the next day, it's, I want to follow Jesus better today than I did yesterday. That is what it looks like to be built up in the faith. It takes time and it takes care. And I'll tell you the care part, what that looks like is, and I'll give you three easy ways for you to continue being built up in Jesus. One is to read your Bible. Man, read your Bible. We should be doing that daily. Two is to pray. Man, we should be constantly praying. And three is community. We should center ourselves and have close friends that are also followers of Jesus. Being built up. And the last thing that Paul talks about in this is being taught. That you are to be taught. Can I tell you that everything, this is crazy, you can write this down, you can quote me. Everything that you have ever learned was taught to you by somebody else. Everything that you've ever learned, everything that you've ever known has been taught to you by somebody else. And that is a great and awesome thing, and it's very true of the faith as well. Now, we need to be taught, and we do this, again, through community, but also through church. They really go hand in hand, or at least they should. I'll tell you this, you're at church right now, so you're already halfway towards the goal, right? You're doing a great job. Get yourself a pat on the back or shoulder. Some of you actually did it, and I'm really proud of you. Man, we need to be built up. We need to be taught by others. Following Jesus is impossible to do alone. Like, you can't do the life of following Jesus and the life that Jesus has called to you to alone. We need other people to be a part of it. One pastor puts it this way. He says, the church is a primary means God uses to help you persevere in the faith and be conformed to Jesus. You will not grow in maturity apart from gospel community. Basically, what he's saying is, you can't do this alone. You need other people to teach you and be a part of your community to build you up in the faith. We need to be taught. We need to be ready to learn about these things. Man, we're walking through the series Made New. Man, part of being made new is learning what it looks like to be made new. And the way that you do that is that you are taught that. Man, we are all students in some way. Even I, at moments, am still getting taught. It's why I hear Pastor Dan teach on Sunday mornings. That's why I'm still in school even for some of these things. But this is also for you in your everyday. We need to be taught. And as we kind of come to this time of closing, and one of my favorite verses that really, I think, if we're honest, this series is named after is 2 Corinthians 5:17. It'll be on the screen for you so you don't have to turn there. It just says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Listen to me. Let me see your eyes. Look, if you are a follower of Jesus, you are a new creation. You are a new creation. You have been made new. And so what we need now is we need to change who we are. Because following Jesus, being made new, means that you will change who you are. You will finally live a life that is a peaceful walk, rooted and unwavering in Christ, being beautifully built up and being taught together while never alone. This is what Paul is saying that is offered to you, and this is what I'm reiterating to you, that Jesus is offering to you. Man, if you have not made that decision, please come talk to me. It is the greatest decision that you can ever make. I'm telling you that personally, but I'm telling you, if you've come here with a friend that you know, or somebody just in the room that you know, and they are a follower of Jesus, ask them what the most important decision they've ever made is. Because I can almost guarantee they will reiterate the exact same thing.
Thank you for listening. We hope you have a great week and that you are a light for Jesus. Grace and peace.